I'm Michael Goldfarb. This is The Connection. America is under attack this morning. A series of bombs along the East Coast has led to the destruction of the World Trade Center and an attack on the Pentagon. The first attack came shortly before 9 a.m. this morning, the height of the morning rush hour in downtown New York. Two planes slammed into each of the towers of the World Trade Center. About a half an hour after those events, President Bush came out and made this statement.
We've had a national tragedy. Two airplanes have crashed into the World Trade Center in an apparent terrorist attack on our country. I have spoken to the Vice President, to the Governor of New York, to the Director of the FBI, and have ordered that the full resources of the federal government go to help the victims and their families, and to conduct a full-scale investigation to hunt down and to find those folks who committed this act. Terrorism against our nation will not stand. And now, if you join me in a moment of silence. May God bless the victims, their families, and America. Thank you very much.
Shortly after that moment of silence, a plane crashed into the Pentagon. The Pentagon is ablaze. And just before we came to air, it's clear that another bomb went off at the World Trade Center. And as I look at television pictures here in the studio, one of the famous towers seems simply to have disappeared. We're talking about today's events, Connection listeners. Facts about who may have done this are still thin on the ground. We will try to resist instant speculation, but we will keep you apprised of the latest events. We will talk about terrorism, and we will speculate a bit about who might have the capability of doing this kind of action. This is always a call-in show, and we're interested in your thoughts and comments. 800-423-8255, 800-423-TALK to join in the conversation. But first, I'm going to my colleague Bob Oakes, who has been monitoring these events since they began to unfold. Bob.
Well, Michael, as bad as it is this morning, as you made mention just moments ago, it got worse within the last 10 or 15 minutes because one of the two twin World Trade Center towers on Manhattan apparently blew up from the base. The building seems to have almost completely collapsed. If you've ever witnessed one of those situations where demolition teams intentionally implode a building, you know that smoke and debris from those explosions spreads throughout the immediate area. And what we're watching on the television set right now, what we're able to witness, is that dust and debris from the apparently collapsed World Trade Center tower, one of them, has spread over the entire area of the lower Manhattan, actually all the way out into New York Harbor. The other tower remains a dramatic sight by itself, sitting there burning about the top 12 floors from the apparent airplane crash that smashed into it this morning. What we do know is that at least two planes crashed into the buildings, one each. You could see dramatic footage in slow motion of the second plane crashing into the second tower, actually intentionally turning into it, and later another explosion at the Pentagon.
Bob, I need to interrupt you for just a second. It's just been confirmed to me that one of the planes that crashed into the World Trade Center was American Airlines Flight 11 from Boston to Los Angeles. I'm looking at the pictures. I continue to be amazed at the pall of smoke drifting out over New York Harbor. The picture calls to mind to me the famous photograph of St. Paul's Cathedral rising above the smoke and debris of the Blitz. All of Lower Manhattan seems to be covered in this smoke, and the surviving World Trade Tower looks like an enormous chimney, gaping smoke, an enormous manufacturing chimney, gaping smoke.
We should talk about what we do know at this moment. The FAA has apparently shut down air traffic across the entire nation in order to prevent any further hijackings, if in fact that's what happened. And of course, we're only speculating that these planes have been hijacked and intentionally flown into these two towers, although it seems like that's a likely scenario. About 45 minutes after a half hour after the first plane crashed, the second plane crashed into the second tower, about a half hour hour after that, we had word that another airplane intentionally or apparently intentionally smashed into the Pentagon. In the wing of the Pentagon that's occupied by the Army corridors, so away in the section of the Pentagon that's called the Center of Power, where the Joint Chiefs meet and that sort of thing, but near a helicopter pad where the Secretary of State, when he leaves and comes to the Pentagon, frequently lands his helicopter.
So the sequence this morning, Bob, let's just quickly go through the sequence of events so that people have an idea of what happened when.
Just before 9 o'clock, there was an explosion at the World Trade Center Tower, apparently the first airplane smashing into one of the twin towers there. About 15 minutes after that, an explosion at the second World Trade Center Tower. And I believe there was an explosion at the second World Trade Center Tower before the airplane crashed into it. At least that's what it seemed to appear on the television. The second Trade Center Tower was burning before before we saw the slow motion video of that second jet, which we actually now know was an American Airlines flight number 11 out of Boston, smashing into the tower. About a half hour after that, reports out of Washington that the Pentagon had been hit by an airplane. The Pentagon is now ablaze. The Pentagon has been evacuated. The White House has been evacuated. The Capitol building has been evacuated. The Treasury building has been evacuated. And then apparently the evacuation started orderly and then became disorderly in all of those buildings as people started to flee. And then the World Trade Center collapsed, one of the towers from apparently a third explosion, completely down to the ground.
I'm joined in the studio by Jessica Stern, who's a lecturer at the Kennedy School, a woman who talks to terrorists and teaches terrorism there. And I'm also joined by Jeff Tolliver. Jeff Tolliver, who's at Tufts University and formerly with the National Security Agency, or a National Security expert.
I teach
National Security. Bob Oakes is leaving the studio to find out more, and he will rejoin us shortly. Let me ask both of you, first of all, the scale. This goes beyond the kind of events that have been speculated on over the last 5 years, since the collapse of communism and the focus on terrorism as the real threat to the United States. Are you surprised by the scale, Jessica Stern?
Well, clearly the group that pulled this off is extremely well organized. They, like terrorists have in the past, they are going for high-value targets but also relatively unprotected targets. As we've been thinking about ballistic missile defense and spending a lot of our national energy and capacity preparing for an extremely high-tech attack, terrorists have been busy plotting lower-tech attacks. Obviously, buildings are unprotected. I would speculate that this is a group that doesn't particularly fear retaliation. It doesn't particularly fear offending a large political constituency. It is extremely well organized. It is violating every moral and religious precept. It is not worried about offending a political audience. That means many groups can probably be ruled out.
Okay. We're going to hold off on real speculation for a while because we simply don't know enough facts. I'm going to ask Jeff Tolliver. I'm sorry I mispronounced your name, Jeff, from Tufts University. The targeting, though, we know what the targets are. National security point of view, what do they represent?
They represent really the centers of power, as you said in your introduction. I think it's no accident that this is a coordinated attack. I agree with Jessica, my colleague Jessica Stern's analysis about whom the likely suspects are. But I think this is clearly a coordinated attack. I think that they've not only attacked the national security apparatus of this country, but also the center of commerce and finance by attacking the World Trade Center and basically by closing down Lower Manhattan for the better part of the day, and also disrupting transportation and commerce. The FAA has taken a wise step in canceling, suspending all air operations. I do not know what the military is doing in terms of controlling air traffic in and out of the United States.
Jeff, I just want to interrupt you there. We are now receiving reports from two television networks, from CNN and from ABC, that there's been an explosion on Capitol Hill, which kind of... The hat trick, I suppose, would be the White House, but I don't think anyone can get there. But it's clear that this is an attack against the United States. This is an act of war in the minds of whichever group committed this act. Would you agree, Jeff?
Yes, I think it clearly is an act of war. I mean, this is a direct attack on the territory of the United States. It's directed at our national leadership. If this is not an act of war, then I frankly don't know what would be.
Jessica?
I would agree with my colleague. At the same time, I'd like to make clear that I think we would need to be extremely careful about how we respond. We know that terrorists tend to use an overreaction as a way to mobilize further violence. So I would, were I designing the policy response, I would say that we need to be very careful that our response is preventive, not retaliatory.
Well, I think that response is for later. We'll get to it, and I'm sure the president will as well. The immediate situation, though, is one of a kind of war footing emergency. It's just been announced that all major hospitals in the U.S. have canceled leave, brought doctors into consultation groups to form committees as to how to deal with. We still don't know numbers of casualties. One can only assume that at a place like the World Trade Center, where tens of thousands of people work, if not in the buildings, then in the surrounding area, an event such as this can only cause massive civilian casualties. In addition to hospitals calling in doctors and canceling their leave, all airports across the country are closed. We're talking about the events that are still unfolding, Connection listeners. America is under attack today in a way that was previously only envisaged in certain kinds of spy fiction and possibly the wilder fantasies of certain people. 800-423-8255, 800-423-TALK. We will be taking your calls. We're coming to a break very shortly. We're trying desperately to balance the need to get the news to you. News is still very sketchy. As you can imagine, a lot of telecommunications have been knocked out in the part of Lower Manhattan where the World Trade Center is located. Huge networks of telecommunications are there. If you can't get a cell phone call through, landlines are blocked as people call out, and many have no doubt been damaged. We will try and keep you abreast of the news up to the minute, and we will get to your calls. We're coming to the break, and before we start on another topic of conversation, I think what I'll just do again is summarize, in case people are just joining us this morning in a sequence. Planes flew into the World Trade Center. A hijacked plane from Boston is one we know of. Shortly thereafter, a half an hour later, a plane flew into the Pentagon. Shortly thereafter, one of the World Trade Center towers, a subsequent explosion, caused its total collapse. No word of casualties yet. We'll assume that there are some. This is clearly an attack on America, and we will be talking about it throughout the morning on The Connection. 800-423-8255, 800-423-TALK to join the conversation. This is The Connection from NPR. I'm Michael Goldfarb. This is The Connection. Obviously, in this hour, we've cleared our schedule. Whatever we had planned is gone. We were talking about America under attack. We're talking about terrorism while the news unfolds with Jeff Taliaferro of Tufts University and with Jessica Stern of the Kennedy School. The television pictures are unfolding again as the looks like it's the South Tower of the World Trade Center collapses, as buildings do when they're being demolished. And the pall of smoke continues to flow into New York Harbor. There is still no report of casualties, but it must be assumed that they are significant. I'd like to turn to Jessica Stern again and ask her about this kind of targeting. Actually, what I'd really like to ask you about is, this is not the first time that the World Trade Center was a target, and there was a bomb some years ago. Could you just tell us that story again?
There was a group of extremists that tried to blow up the World Trade Center in the past, a group planned by Ramzi Youssef, and he said that he was hoping to kill 200,000 people. Again, it's not every extremist or terrorist who has the desire to create mass casualties. It's actually, thank God, rare.
When was this?
This was in 1993.
And what was the process? The terrorists were fairly quickly apprehended, weren't they?
They were
tried?
Yes, they were.
And they're in prison?
Yes.
Was the plan was hatched in the U.S., or was it hatched offshore and brought over?
It was a multinational group. I don't know exactly where they hatched the plan, but they were in the United States.
They were in the United States,
mm-hmm.
Right. Just to recapitulate again, the timeline is now becoming clear. The events are unfolding so quickly. The first plane crashed into a tower of the World Trade Center shortly before 9 a.m. this morning. Second plane just after 9 a.m. President Bush spoke, called the crashes apparent terrorist attacks and a national tragedy. Shortly thereafter, an aircraft crashed into the Pentagon just outside of Washington. And I've just been informed that a car bomb is reported to have exploded just outside the State Department. This is after reports of a bomb going off at the Capitol building. My guests are shaking their head. Jeff Tolliver.
This is Taliaferro.
Taliaferro. Sorry.
Okay. This is just horrific. This is the most sustained attack on federal government institutions that I think we or any country has ever seen outside of a declared war. And I agree with my colleague Jessica Stern that we really ought not to speculate about who might be responsible at this point. But I will note, though, that this this horrific set of explosions really goes to what those of us in the academic community have been saying for the past decade.
Say again, Jeff.
It really goes to what we've been saying the past decade, which is that the United States, like any free society, is vulnerable to these types of asymmetric attacks, that we can never be completely secure, and that perhaps we ought to be concentrating more of our attention on dealing with non-conventional threats in lieu of the big threats, such as ballistic missile defense.
Jessica Stern?
We have been talking about this as an act of war, but I'd like to make clear that this is a violation, a very clear violation of the Western just war tradition, the Islamic just war tradition, and international law. These characters have deliberately attacked non-combatants. This is what distinguishes it from war that complies with the law of war. This is a violation of the law of war.
Well, I would agree with you, Jessica, that it is a violation of both the Western and the Islamic traditions of what is a just war and also justice in war. At the same time, I cannot help but conclude that this is a deliberate attempt by whoever the perpetrators may be to decapitate the leadership of the United States. I mean, we've seen attacks on the Pentagon, on the State Department, on the World Trade Center, which does house some federal agencies. We've seen the White House evacuated. I think this is very much a coordinated campaign.
Without getting into speculation, we're talking about a coordinated campaign. The logistics involved in coordinating this kind of attack with so many variables. Now, Jessica, you study terrorism. We often think, I think, of terrorism as random acts of violence. You think of someone strapping some plastic explosive and walking into a pizza restaurant in Jerusalem. This is a form of terrorism. Something like this requires a great deal of coordination. Can you? We don't want to speculate on who, but can you speculate on how?
It's difficult to speculate on how. We do know this is an extremely sophisticated group, presumably with a membership that can be drawn upon at need, perhaps even a group with sleepers in the United States or individuals that were brought in. It is hard to speculate.
It is hard to speculate, but I mean, could you talk a bit about the kinds of skills that terrorist groups actually have? As I watch, we do have a television in the studio, the second tower of the World Trade Center has just collapsed. The skyline of Lower Manhattan is irrevocably altered. A plume of smoke. My guests and I can only tell you listeners, are shocked. The tower has come down. The World Trade Center's twin towers no longer exist. Again, Jessica Stern, I mean, there is no, it is almost impossible. We live in this time of instant news information, allegedly, and one wants all of the facts and the details now. One wants to know how many people have been injured. One wants to know how this kind of attack can take place. One wants to know how it was coordinated, and we can't know yet, listeners. As we find out, we will be certain to tell you. I'm going to go back to Jessica Shaw as we stare at these pictures. It's very difficult to speak. But as we stare at these pictures, Jessica, again, the how. Where do people get this kind of expertise? How long do they practice? I mean, this is the kind of military action that the U.S., you would have dry runs for months before you attempted this kind of attack anywhere.
This is, I mean, we're trying not to speculate about who or to speculate too much about how, but we can say that this is an organization that is extremely well organized. A number of groups we know have intelligence wings. They actually collect intelligence on other groups and on governments. They have a variety of wings, almost like they're almost mimicking governments. They have military wings. They have public relations wings. They have research wings. I would venture to guess that this is that kind of organization, that the kind of, it's not so much the sophisticated weapon system. In fact, what's remarkable about this is that it is quite low tech, but an extremely sophisticated organization.
Jeff Taliaferro, I mean, we're talking about intelligence. I mean, surely something like this didn't happen or wasn't dreamed up over 3 months. America's intelligence capability in dealing with these groups.
Well, I think you have to make a distinction between our intelligence capability, our ability to gather information about the plans of different state actors and different non-state actors, and also our counterterrorism operations. And I'm going to speak for a minute about counterterrorism because it really lies at the intersection of what we consider law enforcement and national security. We have a tremendous problem at the federal level in coordinating our response.
Jeff, I'm going to ask you to hold the thought. I just want to say that it's just been announced that all U.S. flights are being diverted to Canadian airports, so they will not be landing in the U.S. Carry on with your thought, Jeff.
One of the problems one has in trying to prevent something like this, a terrorist attack that might occur in the United States, is coordinating among different levels of law enforcement, of coordinating between different federal agencies. I mean, the FBI is supposedly the lead counterintelligence agency, but it still has to coordinate with the Transportation Department, with the Drug Enforcement Administration, with state and local law enforcement, and that makes it very difficult both to share information but also to coordinate response and also to take preventive and in some cases preemptive action. I'm sorry, this is just, I'm stunned by the magnitude of the damage and the carnage.
We're now looking, for those of you who can't get to a television, you're obviously listening to us, we're looking at photos from Lower Manhattan. The dust from the recent collapse of the second World Trade Tower covers the streets of Lower Manhattan like a blizzard. The streets are covered in dust and debris. People are walking away from the scene. It should be said they are not running. They are walking stunned, as you can imagine, through a dust blizzard. The roadway leading to the tunnel from Lower Manhattan over into Brooklyn, covered in dust. A young man just went by. He looked more like a walking snowman. These scenes, the pictures are now coming in, are absolutely horrific. It is very, very difficult to speculate first about anything, but we are a show that is about community and conversation. 800-423-8255, 800-423-TALK. Melissa is on the line. Melissa? Melissa? We're going to try for Melissa again. Are you there, Melissa?
Yes.
You're on.
Can you hear me?
We can hear you on the connection.
Okay, I can't hear you.
Should she turn down your radio?
I have a question about the religious motivation for performing an act of suicide terrorism. I know that there's some honor in some religions in dying in a form of or an act of terrorism, and I'm curious what you have to say about that.
Jessica, again, not speculating or laying fingers of blame, but we're talking about suicide. We're talking about martyrdom.
Yes, we are. Much terrorism is actually a kind of martyrdom because the individual knows that, well, for example, he may be executed as a result of his attack, or he may spend the rest of his life in jail. But it is true that those who are religiously motivated sometimes misinterpret the religious teachings to justify attacks against civilians involving martyrdom.
If I might add on this point, yes, I mean, acts of random violence against non-combatants are prohibited by just about every world religion that I know of. But one thing I really do want to stress, since we do not know who the perpetrators are, or who the likely perpetrators might be, is that we as Americans, although this is heartrending, and although this fills me as an American with a sense of both helplessness and anger, I think it's important that we not simply assume that particular groups within our society are responsible for this, that we not blame particular countries without a shred of evidence. I'm thinking back to the Oklahoma City bombing. In the hours following the bombing, everyone in the media was speculating that it was some type of Islamic terrorist group and there were acts of violence against Arab Americans. And I urge the listeners to this program to avoid making those types of unfounded inferences. To let law enforcement and our national security agencies do their job and conduct a proper investigation before jumping to any conclusions.
We will resist without a shred of evidence or the necessary facts, or until there's a claim of responsibility from any kind of speculation, connection listeners. But we will be talking as a group about this, this unfolding tragedy. And I ask all callers to try and refrain from that kind of speculation that Jeff Taliaferro was so eloquently describing. 800-423-8255, 800-423-TALK. Alyosha is on the line.
Hello?
Alyosha.
I'm hearing another radio. Am I on the line?
You're on the line, Alyosha, so just
okay,
talk over what you hear.
I'm I'm calling from the spiritual nonviolence perspective to say that I have tremendous compassion for the victims of these acts, but I think that we should caution, we should examine ourselves very closely, guard against hateful, vengeful, militarized reactions to this. We should also, as hard as it may be, seek to have some understanding for the perspective of the people who think that this is an appropriate way to address their grievances, and we should examine ourselves to understand why they have those grievances against us.
Alyosha, you are a brave man to be on the line so quickly with that point of view.
I don't know about brave. I'm just trying to be a nonviolent person, but I think it's important for a number of reasons. I think that the first example that comes to mind for me is Israel and Palestine. You see that groups blaming each other and hating each other and being violent against each other to try to stop the other group's violence doesn't work. It goes on forever. And it also teaches us that people who are willing to be suicidally violent are virtually unstoppable in their ability.
Alyosha, thanks for your call. I think that I'm not sure where we would get with the analogy between two groups of people who are clearly in a state of conflict with one another. No one is surprised by it. Yes, there's the primary military weapon for the Palestinians is what we would call terrorism, but they don't have an army, and they would say this is the only weapon at our disposal. It's a war there. What's happened this morning, I'm not quite sure how you describe these acts. If it's an act of war, who is attacking us? And that is the question that we seek. That is the question that we seek to answer, even as events are unfolding, and they continue to unfold. Even as we've been on the air, we've heard of a car bomb going off outside the State Department. The second tower of the World Trade Center has collapsed. There are no more towers of the World Trade Centers. The Pentagon is in a desperate condition. This is the connection from NPR.
From Boston University, this is WBUR, Boston's NPR News.
Michael Goldfarb, this is The Connection. We're obviously talking about the events that are still unfolding around the United States. During the break, there's now an unconfirmed report of a plane crash in western Pennsylvania near Pittsburgh. And we don't know if it's related to the attack on the World Trade Center, the Pentagon, the State Department, the heart of American democracy. We're talking about these events with two experts on terrorism, Jessica Stern of the Kennedy School of Government and Jeff Taliaferro of Tufts University. For either of you, does the government play out this kind of scenario, how it would deal with it and so on?
I think that there are contingency plans for dealing with, certainly with military attacks, on the major office buildings, federal government buildings in Washington, D.C., and I'm sure that over the past decade or so, they've run similar preparatory exercises in the event of a terrorist bombing. But I don't think that, at least to the best of my knowledge, and Jessica, you're probably much better qualified to answer this than I am, I don't think that they've run any exercise of to deal with the magnitude of today's events.
I would guess that Jeff is probably correct. There have been many exercises preparing to deal with biological attacks. I don't know that exercises dealing with this kind of lower tech attack and yet extremely well organized attack. I think that the government's reaction that we've seen so far is quite sensible. Closing down the airport seems to make a lot of sense, evacuating.
But I guess the real question is there any, again, there's almost something Tom Clancy about the scale of this, and you wonder, do planners who play out war scenarios, they're aware of domestic terrorism possibilities, do they play games out on this scale?
Well, I would assume that they do. I mean, heard reports about the second plane crash. I heard the statement by the president. I'm glad that he's an Air Force One and airborne. But I would hope that the Vice President and the President pro tem of the Senate and the Speaker of the House and the other senior members of the Cabinet have been evacuated and taken to some safe location.
In and around Washington.
In and around Washington, or preferably out of the Washington area.
We are now going to be joined by Skip. I didn't quite get it. Skip Martin of United Press International, UPI, who's in Washington. And Skip, hello?
Hello, yes.
Can you tell us the latest from Washington?
Well, the FAA has put what they call a national ground stop, which means all planes are grounded, no planes can take off, bus flights are being diverted to Canada. We've had apparently some sort of incident at the Pentagon. I don't know whether it's an explosion or a plane crash. Part of the Pentagon has collapsed. There have been threats of explosions at other federal buildings.
You say threats. We've seen some wire copy suggesting that a car bomb went off outside the State Department in Foggy Bottom. Is that confirmed?
I don't believe that's been confirmed. But there was a threat against the Capitol. The Capitol has been evacuated, including all the police. New York, of course, both of the World Trade Center's towers have collapsed. And we don't have any idea how many people have been killed or injured there. Around the country, federal buildings have been evacuated. Several other towers, like the Sears Tower in Chicago, John Hancock Tower in Boston, have all been evacuated.
Skip, I want to thank you for coming on the air with us. Thanks very much.
You're quite welcome.
And again, Connection listeners, the list of incidents is known. The number of casualties is not. And we're not speculating on who is behind these attacks. And it's hard it's hard not to speculate about the number of casualties. One would have to assume, particularly in New York at 8:45 in the precincts of the World Trade Center, explosions there would have a devastating, a truly catastrophic impact on the local civilians going to work. We can assume that there will be heavy casualties. We're talking about these events as they unfold, and it's very difficult, I should say. My guests are actually looking happy not to have to talk from time to time. We were playing out some scenarios. We were talking about, just before going to the UPI fellow, about senior government figures being evacuated. I mean, presumably there's at least a plan for that.
Certainly there would be a plan for that. And I would also hope, since if this is a pattern, if this is a coordinated campaign, and at this point we don't know, I would hope that they would also evacuate the Supreme Court and the chairman of the Federal Reserve, along with the congressional leadership. I think, though, what is raising suspicions in my mind is that that this attack, if it is a coordinated attack to decapitate the leadership, and by decapitate I mean systematically attack the leadership of the United States, the perpetrator or perpetrators have chosen their times very carefully. Congress is back in session. The president is back from his month-long vacation. Most of the senior cabinet officers are in the United States. I think only Secretary of State Colin Powell is abroad at this point. And this, I find, again, as an American and as somebody who studies national security, extremely troubling. Extremely troubling.
That Colin Powell's abroad?
That Colin Powell is abroad. somebody would, or some persons would coordinate attacks at a time calculated to injure as many of our national leaders as possible, and would also target the World Trade Center. Target the World Trade Center in the first place, but also would crash two commercial jets in the World Trade Center in a time in which the maximum number of people are not only likely to be in the building, but also milling about in the streets around the building.
Clearly, whoever was responsible for this attack planned this over a very long period of time. Okay. We're going to be joined in the studio now by my colleague Bob Oakes, who's been following events very closely. Bob, what's the latest?
Well, there are two more disturbing parts of the story that are occurring at this moment.
Michael. One is that from our sister station, our NPR sister station in Pittsburgh, WDUQ, confirmation that a 767 plowed into the ground about 30 to 45 miles southeast of Pittsburgh in a rural town called Jennerstown. No word on what plane, on what airline it was, no word on whether there were casualties on the ground, but the area is described as being quite completely rural. That's part one. Part two is that ABC News is reporting at this moment that there's another plane in the air that has apparently been hijacked and is flying along the East Coast right now and is apparently being followed or shadowed by a military F-16. So this is just continuing.
Are we ready with Aaron Kiley? We're going to be going now to New York City. Aaron Kiley has been an eyewitness to this morning's events. Aaron, hello.
Hi. Can you hear me?
I can hear you just fine.
Hi there. Yeah.
What did you see?
Well, I saw the second one go down.
Where were you?
I was in my girlfriend's apartment. We're about 30 blocks from the World Trade Center. I looked out the window, and we saw it on flames first. The first one had already gone down. We didn't see that. And it was just on fire and, you know,
and so you were at the window watching, and then...
And then it went down, and it just, you know, collapsed in on itself. And, I mean, it was the craziest thing in the world to watch. And then we were up on the roof.
Did you hear anything?
I heard a plane this morning as I was waking up, and I thought, that plane's really low. That's really weird. And then I heard a thud very far away, and I thought, I just put it out of my head. I thought, well, I don't know, some airport plane went too low. And then I got up and went about everything. I looked out the window about an hour ago and saw pandemonium kind of out on the street in front, but I thought, I didn't know what it was. I thought someone had been hit by a car at the next intersection, and I didn't look up. So then I went about my day for another half an hour and then looked out the window where my girlfriend did and saw.
So you said there was pandemonium in the street below. You live about 30 blocks north.
Yeah,
so where is that? Is that the West Village?
The West Village, Bleecker Street is where I live. And I mean, people were just, you know, freaking out, kind of.
And right now, if you look out your window, I mean, are the streets empty or are they full?
Pretty empty up here. I mean, it's not. I wouldn't. Pandemonium strong. I mean, people were freaking out. Right now, nothing's really happening. But you know, people are really upset everywhere. But we're 30 blocks from it, so we're far from it. And now it just looks like a huge smoke cloud, 30 blocks away. But we're fine over here.
You've not seen any people streaming up from Wall Street trying to...
No, nothing.
To your knowledge, is the infrastructure of New York, the transport infrastructure operating, or have they shut down?
All the lower Manhattan subways so far. I don't think cell phones are working because they were all centered out of there, or a lot of them aren't working.
Yes,
and there's only one TV station.
And there's only one TV station operating at the moment in Manhattan.
Right.
Right. Jeff, you have a question.
You said you saw the plane flying low.
I heard it. I didn't.
You
see
heard
the
it.
Plane.
You
yeah.
heard it. I was actually watching the second. The second plane collide into, I think it was the south tower.
Yeah.
And we've received, and Bob Oakes just reported on another plane apparently hijacked that's flying along the East Coast.
Right.
I'm happy that an F-16 is trailing it. Hopefully that they can force the pilot to land without any casualties. But I would think that just to comment, I would think that the Air Force would have all of its planes on alert. The Air Force would have all of its planes on alert and be authorized to trail and carry any civilian aircraft that might still be airborne despite the FAA's order.
Right. Aaron, I want to thank you for joining us today. Thanks very much.
Thank you,
we may actually call you back. You're our eyewitness, and with telecommunications in such a poor condition coming out of lower Manhattan, you could be our man. You're certainly our eyes at the moment in New York City.
Okay.
Thanks very much for joining us.
Okay.
We're now going to hear a report from AP reporter Thelma Lebrecht.
I'm looking at the Pentagon, where it is definitely wounded on one side, a gaping hole in the Pentagon, where apparently the small plane crashed, still black smoke billowing out of the Pentagon. You can actually still see a few flames in the Pentagon. And officials now have moved people even farther away outside of the perimeter of the parking lot, saying that they are fearful that another plane was on the way. So they have taken the precaution of moving people even farther away from the Pentagon. They say it is very dangerous to be here. They continue to issue that warning. In the meantime, the Pentagon is full of smoke billowing into the blue sky. You can still hear every now and then a small explosion from that fire in the Pentagon and a gaping hole where that first plane apparently flew into the Pentagon. They are, again, moving people away from the area. You can perhaps hear the official in back of me now saying, move it away from the area. I'm looking at the...
That was Thelma Lebrecht, an AP reporter, on the scene of the fire at the Pentagon. We're coming to the end of this hour. I'd like to ask Jeff Taliaferro just to summarize his thoughts, information coming in sketchily, emotions strong.
Emotions definitely are strong. I would just like to start by reiterating my point, which is not to jump to conclusions, not to blame a particular groups, particularly Arab-American groups or Arab groups or foreigners in general, until we get some hard information, until the authorities have had a chance to conduct a thorough investigation. But I think one of the things that is stunning to me, particularly about the attacks on the federal buildings in Washington, D.C., is the fact that apparently security precautions were so lax, particularly the attack on the Pentagon, just stuns me. And I am at a loss to analyze that.
It is extraordinary. I mean, the assumption has always been that a plane flying at a certain level into certain areas of airspace in Washington, D.C.
Exactly.
Now, we know that there was a small aircraft that flew into the White House a couple of years ago, but we're talking about clearly a large plane. It is astonishing that what was presumed to be the most sacred, arguably, airspace on the planet was so easily breached.
Well, the most sacred airspace on the planet is actually over the White House. But given the Pentagon is in Arlington, and one would expect that there would have been surface-to-air missiles designed to intercept low-flying objects heading towards the building.
We're coming to the end of this hour. Connection listeners, for certain we will be back with this story coming up in a few short minutes. We will continue to take your calls, have a conversation about this national emergency. This is The Connection from NPR.
From Boston University, this is...